This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
It's so difficult to concentrate in prayer and not get distracted. The man in this story certainly found it so. While journeying on horseback one day, Saint Benedict met a peasant walking along the road. "You've got an easy job," said the peasant. "Why don't I become a man of prayer? Then I too would be travelling around on horseback." "You think praying is easy," replied the saint. "If you can say one Our Father without any distraction, you can have this horse." "It's a deal," said the surprised peasant. Closing his eyes and folding his hands, he began to say the Our Father out aloud. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." Suddenly he stopped and looked up at the saint and said, "Will I get the saddle and the bridle too?" Last week we touched upon the subject of prayer. But I would imagine that not very many people are used to praying, and if they do, it's easy for them to get sidetracked. Jesus' disciples may have had that problem because they asked Jesus to teach them how best to pray. And Jesus taught them the perfect prayer, which is our theme today, and it's known to us as the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. That beautiful version of the Lord's Prayer was by Andrew, my technician here, Andrew Ridgwick. Beautiful version. Our reading today is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." In Mark's Gospel, when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest, he addressed God in Aramaic as Abba. Jesus used this name in the Lord's Prayer too. Many theologians say this was actually a far more personal and intimate name than Father, a word that is still heard today on the lips of little children in the Middle East today. Abba, translated, means Daddy, the good variety. But addressing God with a personal name doesn't give us permission to be flippant or over-familiar, for God's name is to be hallowed and honoured, that is, holy and respected by all. You wouldn't think as much judging by the many films and drama series today, would you? Because God's name is so often used as a swear word or a curse. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, recently said of the Lord's Prayer, "It is impossible to overstate the life-transforming power of this prayer. It is reassuring enough to be on the lips of the dying, and yet dangerous enough to be banned in cinemas. It is famous enough to be spoken each day by billions in hundreds of languages, and yet intimate enough to draw us ever closer into friendship with Jesus Christ. It is simple enough to be memorized by small children, and yet profound enough to sustain a whole lifetime of prayer. When we pray it with sincerity and with joy, there is no imagining the new ways in which God can use us to his glory." So says Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury there. Let's hear a song with that word Abba in it. Abba, Father.
Abba, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be evermore your own. Never let my heart grow cold.
That was Caroline Bonnet singing a Dave Bilbra song there from his album Let There Be Love. When we pray Your Kingdom Come, not only are we praying for Jesus to return to earth, but that he will continue to preach good news through us, set captive people free through us, open eyes that are blind and release the oppressed. This is God's kingdom here on earth, where his power brings great changes in the lives of ordinary people. Give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? Is it just a prayer for food for our physical needs each day? Or can we read more into that? Might it not be spiritual food too, as comes to us from reading and absorbing God's word? Didn't Jesus quote the words, "Man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God"? Or could it be to do with listening to and acting upon the teaching of Jesus and following his example? It could also be to do with receiving bread at the Lord's table, receiving Jesus himself, who said, "I am the bread of life." and in receiving him, we in turn become bread for others. This next song, Take, Eat, This Is My Body, became my call to ministry as a priest. It's very precious to me.
Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Eat it and remember, I die.
Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. The word Luke uses here for sin in the Gospel means a falling short, as when a javelin or arrow misses its mark. Matthew, in his version in his Gospel, uses the word debts, but both words lead to a similar meaning in the original language Jesus spoke. For when we fall short of our aim in life, this is classed as disobedience. Rather than obey God, we've gone our own way. We owe him so much, therefore we are in debt to him. But the whole point here is that just as we desire to be forgiven, we too ought to forgive others. If we choose otherwise, we can end up with a heart full of bitterness, tormenting memories, and we become heavily burdened. Someone put it this way: we mustn't curse, nurse, rehearse, but disperse all the negativity. To forgive is to give up the right to hurt those who have hurt us. Our next song is from the album Giving It All to You. Local singer Pete Scott accompanies me in singing Father Forgive Them.
Angry faces round you, howling at you, mocking crowds all jeering as they pierce you through. Enemies are sneering and tormenting. It was then I heard you whispering, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do to me. Then I saw you looking at them, in your eyes, totally rejected by your people, totally
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Charles Spurgeon, a well-known preacher, once said, "Beware no man more than of yourself." Temptation can refer to any testing situation, really. Here we ask God to help us to endure the countless struggles, the many trials and troubles we face in life. But we can't avoid them altogether. They're also part of how we grow and learn and correct ourselves. Here's a quote for you from the film The Karate Kid. "Life will knock us down, but we can choose whether or not to get back up again." Our next song has this to say: "You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all." Here by Hillsong is the song Stronger.
There is love that came for us, humbled to the sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again, victorious.
So there are three sections here in the Lord's Prayer which refer to food, forgiveness, and the future, according to the scholar William Barclay, and they're all linked. The first is about present need, the second about past sin, and the third about future welfare and goodness. But there's more. For when we pray for daily bread, we think of God the Father, creator and sustainer of life. When we pray for the second, the prayer of forgiveness, we think of God the Son, Saviour and Redeemer of humankind. And when we pray the third, the prayer for future help, we think of God the Holy Spirit, our guide along the way, our helper, our protector. Here's a song by Northumbria Community entitled "I Bind Unto Myself This Day." You may recognise the tune, and it's taken from their album Waymarks.
I bind unto myself this day the strong name of the Trinity. I humbly praise thee, O full name, the three in one, the one in three, of whom all nature hath creation,
with me and Christ within me,
eternal Father.
Northumbria community recommend that we pray as we can and not as we can't. There are no wrong and right ways to pray as long as we make the effort. I once read a story, which incidentally has many different versions, about a priest who noticed that an elderly man often came into his church at the same time each day and simply sat and smiled as he gazed at the large stained glass window in the front of church. The priest decided to ask him about himself and why it was that he smiled so much. The elderly man explained he came in to talk to God. So the priest asked him what it was he said to God. "Oh, that's easy," the man replied. "I just sit here and say, 'Hello, God. This is Jim.'" Sometime later, Jim died, and the priest had a strange dream about him. He dreamt that his elderly friend was approaching the throne of heaven, and he saw an angel come straight to him who said, "Hello, Jim. This is God." Let's listen to a modern version now of the Lord's Prayer, written by Keith Getty and Stuart Townend, and sung by Ruth Notman.
Our Father God in heaven above, your holy name be honored. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily as freely we forgive the debt of those who sin against us.
The Lord's Prayer is a prayer which includes others. It uses the pronouns our, us, and we. A poet called Charles Thompson put it this way: "You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say I. You cannot say the Lord's Prayer and even once say my. Nor can you say the Lord's Prayer and not pray for another. For when you ask for daily bread, you must include your brother. For others are included in each and every plea, from the beginning to the end of it. It does not once say, 'me.'" When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we praise and adore God our Father from beginning to end. If our top priority isn't God as Christians, it's like not fastening the top button on a cardigan, in that we find everything is out of sync. Our health, our emotions, our goals, and relationships can suffer. So says J. John, a famous preacher. The beauty of the Lord's Prayer lies in the simplicity of its words. In it we discover the very nature of God as loving parent. May I finish today's programme with a song sung by Matt Redman called The Father's Song, which sums up our programme today. It says, I have heard so many songs, listened to 1,000 tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love. You've sung it over me, and for eternity it is written on my heart. May the Lord God, Abba, our Father, draw you closer to himself as you listen to this song, and may you come to know how very precious you are to him as his very own child. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick saying goodbye, and thank you for staying tuned throughout the programme, and we hope you'll join us next Sunday on New Day Dawning at 8 o'clock. Bye for now.
I have heard so many songs, listened to 1,000 tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me, and for eternity it's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listened to 1,000 tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Thank you, Lord. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over.